Ja, wunderbar, dass wir in Hebräer 11 sind.
It's wonderful that we're in Hebrews chapter 11. Here there are so many living examples which show us what sort of faith we have received. I really love this chapter, Hebrews 11.
Man kann aus diesem Kapitel unmöglich eine Lehre oder Theologie machen.
Because I think it's impossible to make some sort of doctrine out of this chapter. I don't know how to do this. Because there are so many living proofs of this faith.
Es gibt nicht nur Vers 1, das Glaube.
It's not just verse 1, that faith is the evidence, but there are so many examples where witnesses who came before us accomplished so many things through their faith. And this should really show us what sort of faith we have received. It's good to read this chapter again and again and to bring it before the Lord, because we have a lot to learn from these witnesses who lived before us.
Zeigt, ja, was für ein Glauben wir bekommen
haben. And it showed me again, what sort of faith do we have? Today, when people say, I believe in God, what they usually mean is, oh yeah, I believe that a God exists.
Was meinen wir? Woran denken wir?
And today, if people tell you, I believe in Christ, does that mean that you believe that the Bible is the truth? Yeah, that's also part of it. But faith is more than just thinking that something is true. It's full of acts.
Gibt, die diesen Glauben haben, dann wird
if
Gottes
there are people who have such a faith, then God's word can be made to substance or come into reality. And that is why we have received this precious faith. It should encourage us to say, Lord, we also want to be such witnesses who are living through faith and who in our time bring your word into reality. And Abraham was certainly a very important character.
Längsten Abschnitt in Hebräer 11 von Vers
Abraham 8. Actually has the longest section in Hebrews 11 talking about him. And this is because there's a lot to learn from Abraham and a lot to say about him. And for the Jews, Abraham is a very important person. The Lord told the Jews, Abraham is your father. And the word says that Abraham is also the father of faith for the nations, the Gentiles, not just the Jews.
Durch Glauben gehorchte Abraham.
And in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says that Abraham by faith obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. This is amazing. This entire section in Hebrews chapter 11, before all everything else, it emphasizes that Abraham was a pilgrim, a stranger on this earth. If you read in Genesis chapter 12 about Abraham, you can see how many things he called into substance through his faith. I'd like to encourage everyone to read Genesis chapter 12.
Dann wird das Bild wirklich vollständig und der Herr kann uns noch mehr zeigen.
Because then we would gain such a picture of what God was able to work through Abraham. And in verse 9, it said, Abraham went out and he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. And this is really amazing.
In Ur in Chaldea wohnte er.
How is it that some person who was living in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the midst of idol worshipping, how is it that he suddenly came to leave everything, his family, his father's house, his relatives, and not just to leave them, but he didn't even know where he was going? If you think about it, you would see that this is no trivial matter, that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. We'd like to have certainty today. We'd like to know what is going to happen next. But God came to Abraham and spoke to him. Go out. Maybe Abraham asked, okay, where should I go? And God must have answered, I will show you that later. Then that really needs his faith to trust in this God. And praise the Lord, Abraham had this faith. But what I'd like to emphasize this morning as the main point is, where did this faith come from? What did Abraham do in order to have this faith to know or to go out? It was the appearing of the living God. It was only possible because the God of glory appeared to Abraham and spoke to him. And first in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis 12, verse 1, it said, the Lord had spoken to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And in verse 7, it said, the Lord appeared to Abraham, and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And this was the decisive element. The living God spoke to him and appeared to him. Abram didn't just read something and understand it and then get on the move, but he had a real meeting with this God. God appeared to him. We know that in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, he started his testimony with this story of Abraham. If we go to Acts chapter 7, verse 2, this is how Stephen started his sermon or his message. He said, brethren and fathers, listen. God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. And Stephen used this title. He didn't just say God. He said the God of glory. Our God is the God of glory. He is glorious. And he also wants to show us his glory. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. That means God didn't just give him some instructions, but God really showed him something. And in Hebrews 11, we see more of what God showed him. In Genesis chapter 12, it was just some instructions. It's not described. But in Hebrews 11, we see that God really appeared. Abraham saw this glorious God, and this put him in the position or made him capable of leaving everything. We know the story of Paul when he was still called Saul. He was persecuting the church. He was full of hatred. But sometime came a day when Paul made a complete turn. What happened? God, the God of glory, appeared to Saul. What was the decisive turning point with Saul? It was exactly the same as it was with Abram. Namely, the God of glory appeared to him. And when Paul saw this glory and this light, then all of a sudden everything was different. Before, you probably could have argued with him and discussed with him a lot, and nothing would have changed. But when the God of glory appeared, everything changed. God did not speak so much to Paul at the beginning, just a couple of sentences, and that was it. But if one beholds this glory, if one sees this living God, then everything will change. And this means that for us today, it doesn't matter how long we've already been a believer. We need this appearing of the God of glory regularly. We shouldn't think, oh, I've already been a believer for such a long time. I already know God. I know what it's about. Yeah, maybe you know what it's about, but it's not about knowing. It's not just about understanding. It's about this God of glory appearing to us. And if you read the story in Genesis, God appears to Abraham, not just once, but again and again. And you see that Abraham had fellowship with this God. It wasn't just once and then it's over. But there was a continual appearing. And we should take this and ask the Lord, Lord, appear to me daily. I had to tell this to the Lord before the conference because I realized that there are some points that I have grasped and understood, but it's not burning in my heart. And the vision of what God wants to to gain with us today, it can become clearer. And I realized I have to seek the appearing of my God. I have to tell him, Lord, appear to me, remove my veils. Save me from just knowing. And Lord, I don't just want to read the Bible, but when I read the Bible, please appear to me. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that you can read the scriptures, you can read the books of Moses, and yet a veil would remain over your heart, and it would avail to nothing. In the end, the dead letter, the letter alone would even kill us. But then it says, when the heart turns to the Lord, then the veil shall be taken away. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. When the veil is taken away because we've turned our heart to the Lord, then the result is that we would behold the glory of the Lord. We would behold, as is in a mirror, the glory of the Lord and then even reflect it, because this appearing will change everything and it will make us capable of living through faith just like Abraham in our daily life. And we would also be ready to put all things behind us that we've already known. This is the appearing of the Lord. And today the Lord wants to appear to us in his word. We emphasize this a lot. It's good to not just read the Bible, but while we're reading it, let us turn our hearts to the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, appear to me. Also, when we're reading Hebrews 11 and 12 and 13, we must tell the Lord, appear to us, take our veils away. Let us really see something that would change our lives. During and after this conference, I want to see differently, maybe not completely differently, because praise the Lord, we're already on this way. But I want to more richly experience this faith and to go on with the Lord. This will be impossible. This will only be possible if he personally appears to us at this conference, just as he appeared to Abraham. So, with God's appearing to Abraham, it freed him from the world, and it strengthened him to live by faith. This is wonderful. If we see the glory of the Lord and we reflect it, then 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 says that we will be transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Is that not wonderful? If somebody is looking again and again upon the glory of the Lord, this person will not remain unchanged. He will be transformed from glory to glory. It's bit by bit, and we should continue until we are perfected, until we fully correspond to this God of glory. This is what we really have to see with Abraham. The God of glory appeared to him. And the second point is that this God of glory spoke to him. We also need the living speaking of God. And above all, we need the current speaking of God. Recently, I heard that a believer was changed because of the current speaking of God. We need the current speaking. What use is it if we just have his speaking from 10 years ago? Maybe it's what we were built up back then. But everybody mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 had the current speaking, that which God spoke to them during their lifetime. None of the people mentioned in Hebrews 11 lived through faith, through the speaking of God from 100 years ago. It was always current. Enoch, we just heard about Enoch. Enoch had the current speaking of the Lord when his son was born. He didn't just have some sort of scripture that was read 100 years before him. But on the day that his son was born, God spoke to him, and that is what changed his life. How is it with Noah? Noah also had the current speaking of the Lord. Because at the time of Noah, he had this speaking, and that's why he was able to build the ark. If it's not current, then it's not sufficient to carry out the will of God through faith. Noah also needed the current speaking of God. If we are building a physical ark today, if we were to start building a physical ark, because we read about it in Hebrews 11. Because God spoke it a long, long time ago. Then we would fully pass by the will of God. We might think, well, it's written here. But actually, that was for that time. And today, something else is there for us to do. And so we must ask the Lord again and again, Lord, speak to us what you want to accomplish today. That is what we really have to ask the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do at our time? We are not just living in today's time for no reason. God has called each one of us for the current age. It's not just about what God spoke 100 years ago, but what he's speaking today. Of course, we need the whole scripture to understand and grasp this. But in this scripture, the Lord has to speak to us for our current time. This is so important. Because our faith is not just to do something in a general sort of way. Our faith is always connected to God's purpose. We can't just do something for God, but faith is based in the word of God. All these people in Hebrews 11, what they did, it was accomplished because God spoke and because they mixed the spoken word with faith. It wasn't Noah's idea to build the ark. It was God's idea, and God spoke to him. And then Noah mixed this word with faith, and he prepared the ark. And God really liked this or approved this. And today, what is meant by this faith is that God has something to speak to us, and he needs people to mix what he speaks with faith. And today we are really living at the end of this age. We could even be the last generation. So we must ask the Lord, what is your speaking for our age? What is it that you want to do today? And in these past few years, the Lord has shown us a lot what his will is for this age. And above all, it is about the kingly priesthood. And he still surely has many things to show us in this matter. So let us learn from the example of Abraham. Let us go to the Lord and ask him, Lord, appear to us and appear and speak to us daily and show us what you want to do today. And this speaking, this living speaking of God is what we need. In Romans chapter 10, we probably all know these verses. Romans 10, verse 8. It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. The word of faith. And in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing. This amazed me to see that faith is not coming from reading. It comes from hearing. When we are preaching the gospel, we like to encourage people, go read the Bible. But we should actually also encourage them not just to read, but to speak or to hear the Bible. Because faith comes by hearing. Faith comes when God speaks to us in a living way. And where does this hearing come from? It doesn't just come from the heaven as an audible voice, but it comes by the word of God.
Und hier steht das Wort Christi. Es passt zu Hebräer 1, Vers 1.
In Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says, God speaks today to us in his Son. And through his Son and through his word, God wants to speak to us today. And we should be those who listen and who say, Lord, give me an ear to hear. And that is where our faith comes from. I'm emphasizing this because I noticed in the time before the conference, I was reading Hebrews 11. And I said to the Lord, I also want to accomplish such wonderful acts through my faith. And then the Lord answered me and showed me, for that you first need my speaking. You can't just do something without my speaking. You need my speaking because faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word of God. So in this time, let us seek the Lord all the more for his appearing and his speaking. There is a lot to cover, but I'd like to emphasize just one more point. After the conference, it's good for all of us to get into the word even deeper. The point is that Abraham was waiting for something. In Hebrews 11, verse 10, it says, this is the reason why he was ready to live as a stranger and a pilgrim or a foreigner. It was because he was waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
God dem Schreiber hier offenbart hat.
This is not something that we would see just by reading the story in Genesis about Abraham, but it's revealed here in Hebrews.
Und das ist sehr, sehr wichtig. Ja. Abraham hat auf die Stadt gewartet, die
Abraham
Gott
was waiting for the city which has foundations. And this is a proof that God showed him more. God didn't just say, go out from your father's house to a land that I will show you. But he showed him more. He showed him this city. And this is what we read in Hebrews 11. Abraham got a vision of the city that God had prepared, and he was waiting for it. And this is the reason. Maybe we ask, Why is Abraham so ready to live as a foreigner?
Gott hat ihm mehrmals dieses Land versprochen. Und Gott hat
God promised Abraham several times that he was to inherit this land. In Genesis 13, verse 17, God said to Abraham, "Possess the whole land. I give it to you and your descendants." And Abraham was also very rich. We might think that if we are very rich and God gives us an entire piece of land for our possession, maybe I will just use it for my own gain. I will build some nice buildings on it. And yet, how is it that Abraham, being so rich and inheriting this whole land, was still dwelling in tents? And not just that, but he kept moving around. He didn't even have a permanent home. It said he dwelled in tents. He kept moving. Someone who's so rich and has such a great possession, why is he living like this? It's because he was waiting for the city. Abraham recognized that this whole earthly possession is only a shadow. Even the land of Canaan that God had promised him was only a shadow. It was a picture of the real thing. In Hebrews 11, it said that Abraham and these other people, they were waiting for the promise. And through the appearing of God, Abraham realized that this is not the real thing. This is only the shadow of the heavenly and true things. And it was despite him already being in this land, he was still waiting for the real thing. And this is another thing that we have to learn from Abraham. Maybe the Lord has already given us a lot of possessions, maybe even earthly or material possessions. But this is not the real thing. And I find it encouraging to see that, like Abraham, it's good to live as a pilgrim and a stranger on this earth. The word spoke to me. It's good to live in sufficiency and to not be so occupied with all the material things in this world. We can enjoy the material things. We don't have to despise them like some religious people would. But we should not forget these are all just side matters. It's not the main point. We shouldn't be so focused on building up our material possessions. That is not our goal. We are just pilgrims. And the Lord already showed us this city. But today, this morning, we should tell him, "Lord, show me this heavenly city even more. I want to be able to live as Abraham lived." And in Hebrews 11, verse 16, it says that now they desire better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Praise the Lord. The Lord has prepared a city for us. Just as Christian said, maybe some of us have already had thoughts, where can we go when things become more and more restricted? Here in Germany, it's really not easy. And where should we go? There is no city on this earth where it will permanently be much better. But praise the Lord, there is a heavenly city. And the wonderful thing is, it is being built already today. And we should already be investing in it today. I appreciate how chapter 11 was written. We see that Abraham was waiting for the city, but we don't see the details of what the city looks like yet. That comes in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 is a description. We all know these verses. but it should give us an appreciation of what Abraham was waiting for. Hebrews 12:22, it says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Today, we as the believers have come to Mount Zion. Where? To the city of the living God. On the one hand, we are waiting for the city, which is at the very end of the book of Revelation. That is the physical city which will actually come from heaven down to the earth. And here we will dwell together with God forever. That is one side. But on the other hand, today this city is already being built through the church. And we have to see this in a new way. We are able to live in that which Abraham already saw. But Abraham was not yet in the time of the new covenant. He was right at the beginning. He saw the city from far away. In verse 13 of chapter 11, it says, these all died in faith. They saw the promises afar off. Abraham only saw the city from a long way away. And yet it was still enough to make him orient his entire life on this city. And how about us? We today don't just get to see the city, but we can experience how God is building it with us today. But for this, we need a vision. So let us tell the Lord, Lord, expand my vision of that which we have come to today. There is always this test. What are we looking at today? Are we just looking at the visible things? It's nice to see the saints at this conference. But if that's all that we see, then that is too little. It's not just the outward things. May the Lord give us eyes to see that today we are in the city of the living God. When I go to the conference, just as an example, I want to have this realization. I am going to the city of the living God. I am going to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to 10,000 angels, to the feast, the festal gathering, the church of the firstborn. What sort of view do we have of the church? Abraham saw the city, but what do we see today? May the Lord show us more of this city, that we would be waiting for it and living for it and fully invest in it. And then nobody has to force us or try to force us to live as strangers and pilgrims. This is all dependent on the vision that we receive from the Lord. If we have to constantly exhort one another, yeah, don't let yourself be swallowed up in the world. Don't do this. Don't do that. If you have to tell someone this, then that means that that person does not have the vision. But if the vision is clearly before our eyes, and if the God of glory has appeared to him like Abraham, then we would gladly give ourselves, because we have seen it is about something much greater. It's about something heavenly, what we are living for. And that's what we are preparing today. So let us use the remaining time that we have to fully invest, just like Abraham. We are seeking for a better and heavenly city. And in Hebrews chapter 13, the author really had this city in his heart. In chapter 13, verse 14, it says, we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. It was really in his heart. And today for us, it must be also written into our heart. We have no continuing city. Let us not invest in this world. Let us invest in this city which is to come.
Wenn wir weitergehen bis zum Ziel, wenn der Herr uns gnädig ist.
And if the Lord is gracious to us, then, if we reach the goal, Then, just as the Lord said, we will be able to sit with Abraham and Isaac, with him at his table. Today, when I read this story this morning about Abraham again, I thought, I'm already rejoicing. I'm looking forward to sitting at the table with Abraham and Isaac. But that's why it's so important how we live today. May we, through faith, expect and wait for this continuing city. And may the Lord continue to reveal himself to us.